Welcome to the 10th episode of Trust the Badge. For the first time on this podcast, we have a guest who is not a part of law enforcement himself, and he has no direct relationship to law enforcement except that he is a board member of the Orlando Police Foundation, but most importantly, he is a radio host of the K92.3 radio here in Central Florida. So if you're here in Central Florida, make sure to tune into his radio. He's an amazing speaker and he has a lot of cool ideas to share. But in this episode, he's very insightful and he shares many great ideas. Mr. OB Diaz is amazing and I really want you to listen to what he has to share with us today because of his insight of how law enforcement should be treated, how they should be respected, and most importantly, how us as a community can build a better relationship with them. So please tune into this episode and I hope you enjoy it.
Hey, my name is OB Diaz. So I live in the City Beautiful here in Orlando where I get an opportunity to sit on the board of the Orlando Police Foundation. And I also, my career, which is where I make a living, is on the air for K92.3, which here in Orlando is our huge country station. It's been legendary since the 80s. And on top of that, for working for that company for the past 24 years, I'm also a beloved father. At least I hope I'm beloved. And a father of four kids, been married to the same beautiful woman for the past 15 years and with her for the past 20. And yeah, just really, really, really a lover of people, a lover of relationship building. And I think that that's something that can be afforded in every space, not just in law enforcement, but just in humanity. We need it so badly. So it's a pleasure and a privilege to be here with you today.
Thank you, Mr. Diaz. This is going to be pretty interesting because this is my first time interviewing someone that's not law enforcement on my podcast. So let's just get straight into it. What encouraged you to become a radio host?
So that's a great question because as I was young, just like you, Jason, as a matter of fact, you know what? It was your age that I went up to the local radio station and I was so intrigued by this morning show and just how much fun they sounded like they were having on the air. And at the age of 16, 17, I went up to this local radio station and I asked, how does one get into this? Can I sweep the floors? Can I vacuum? I'll wash the station vehicles, whatever it takes. I'm in. I want in. And you know what? Actually, this is a really great story because anybody who's listening right now, who's in school, your guidance counselors have some amazing training and they've got some power. So the radio station told me at that age of 16, 17 years old that I was a little young, that I would have to go back to high school. I would have to go talk to one of my guidance counselors and work it out where I could get a school credit. That would be the only way that they would let me into the radio station was if I was getting the school credit. And man, I went back to the high school, got with my guidance counselor, and she was all about it where they scheduled the very last period that I had in school, it was an on-the-job training class. And so that afforded me the opportunity that during school, my very last period, I would then be able to go to the radio station and learn over there as an intern. So that's really how I started radio. I thought that was really cool. I've always been an actor. I've always been one who's always loved to speak and to captivate an audience. And I thought that radio was just fantastic. So that's how I got in there.
Wow, that's an amazing story. But my question is, this is very interesting in the fact that you now correlate with the Orlando Police Foundation as a board member. So what motivated you to become involved with the Orlando Police Foundation and how does it align with your passion for broadcasting?
Yeah. Okay, great, Jay. So this is the origin story of the Orlando Police Foundation. They started coming up with board members. I was approached by one of my really great friends who asked me if I wanted to sit on the board. And when I can tell you that I have no confidence sitting on a board with all these guys. I mean, these guys are multimillionaires. They're big CEOs. They're big movers and shakers of the community. So for me, as just an entertainment host, I thought I was just, you know, probably small compared to the giants that sit on the board. But my wife said, if you're ever going to be a giant yourself, you need mentors. And so I said yes to sit on the Orlando Police Foundation. And my contribution is the podcast. And the podcast is something that with the talents that God gave me, I'm able to contribute in a way that nobody else in the foundation is able to contribute. much the same way those guys are able to contribute in a way that I can't contribute. But it's a beautiful marriage with my love for law enforcement already. This has turned it up, I mean, just to a volume 10, once you realize the positions, the scenarios that our men and women are put in so many times. I mean, almost every day.
Out of curiosity, do you have any family or friends in law enforcement before the foundation?
You know, I don't.
Wow.
I don't. Yeah, that's interesting. And even military, I've got maybe one uncle who's in the military, a couple cousins, but nothing that would have impressed upon me that I have to do this. So it's really cool how magnetically I was drawn to this group and the heart was filled with the right emotion to be a part.
That's an amazing combination, a radio host and a board member of the Police Foundation. Wow. Could you please share maybe a specific example of how your involvement in the Police Foundation has had a positive impact on your community?
Yeah, so what I'm able to offer the foundation is the opportunity to bridge the gap between what the person who wears the badge, what their life is like in and out of the job. And to me, that was so important to be able to bridge that gap, that story, because really the Orlando Police Foundation and most of your foundations, the real heart of it is to draw up funds to help these officers, right? So the only way that I thought in my head, and thank God for my radio path, because that kind of settled in my heart was, so what I'll do is I'll do a podcast that bridges the gap where the listeners, whether they're law enforcement themselves or just people who trip over the podcast, people who, you know, find the link, you know, interesting, whatever it is, that they're able to get a look into the person who does this for a living, who does law enforcement for a gig, as far as putting on that badge. I say gig. I shouldn't even say gig because it really ends up being their life. I'm sure as you've interviewed individuals, you'll find out that they never really turn it off. Yeah, so I did find that interesting. And so what I'm able to do is I'm able to kind of help paint that story because a lot of our people in law enforcement, you know, Jason, what's going to be great about you and I, what our gift is we're able to draw out these stories from individuals who sometimes don't get to share a lot. Maybe they're not great storytellers themselves or they don't think they are. You and I get to draw that out of them. And that affords the listeners to get to fall in love with law enforcement when sometimes the media can put out stories that just get the clicks, that just get the views. And sometimes that does not tell the entire narrative of what those departments are really up to in the community. So that's where I get to help out, is I get to tell the story to the community.
That's an amazing mission. And you're exactly right at the end, because that's mainly why I started my nonprofit as well, to really bridge that gap of trust between law enforcement and the community, because over time, it's just been so disconnected, it's terrible, right? And this relationship is honestly not getting any much better. And it honestly depends on where the location is, of course, where the community is. But really, the relationship between law enforcement and the community needs to improve, which is why I'm hoping that maybe this podcast can connect my generation more to law enforcement and have some more of a positive impact. But Ryan, I completely agree with you.
Yeah. And you know, what's sad is that there was a time where, you know, when you were a member of law enforcement, you know, we would walk by officers and just, hello, Mr. Officer, you know, and just, you even see it now in the old TV shows and the old movies. It was just this beautiful relationship. And I'm afraid that that's been tainted over time. And now there's a generation coming up that is so frightened, and not only frightened, but to the point where even the generation doesn't want to stop. So now even recruitment is something where they're trying to get the best of the best. So It is interesting, Chaser, you know, and it's also not a job that, you know, just like teachers, you know, some of these jobs, they deserve so much more than what they're paid. And so a lot of people today are like, listen, for the price, I'm not willing to stand up to the public who already hates me just because I'm wearing the uniform. So yes, so to you and me, it's our job to go ahead and try to change that narrative, because not every officer is like that. And to be honest, they're put up against a lot of pressure. Jason, I would really love for you to be part of, you know, at the Orlando Police Foundation, they've afforded us an opportunity to go through two different simulators. And us as foundation members, they wanted us, if we're going to be going out there and we're trying to drum up funds to help officers, which really the foundation, I should break that down, is that the foundation, the purpose is you get all these bright minds together to drum up funds So this way, when an officer goes through a heartache or a hardship, we're able to just sign on checks without having to go through government, city officials. I mean, we're just able to do it with the power of just saying yes to a vote. So that's what the foundation is for. So anyone out there who doesn't understand how it works, the city, so say you're an officer and you get into a car accident and God forbid, somebody dies, right, in the car accident. What, one of your people. And now you have funeral costs. You probably have to go see a counselor. There's only so much that the city can do to step in for their employees. Well, that's where the foundation takes a vote. Boom, we write a big check and that person is taken care of. Well, the only way that we're able to do that is through the people, through the community. So it's our job to make sure that we paint this picture to let the community know these men and women are great. So the reason why I talked about the simulator is because the simulator, you actually walk through what the officers train through. And there's one that's a video where you're surrounded by a 360 view of screens and they play for you simulations of a real movie. So it's a real movie. You're holding a real gun in your hands and it's almost like a big video game, except it's real life. And you have the opportunity to either escalate or de-escalate a scenario. And dude, when I tell you that I failed miserably where, again, it's just a simulator, but I shot some people who did not deserve to be shot. Like kids and grandmas. And it really brought it to reality when we stopped the simulation, I looked at the teacher and I said, okay, so wait a minute. If I'm a real officer, what happens? Like that was all within a split second. And they were like, it always is. So now we take your badge, we take your gun, you're under a big investigation and you have to sit out for a little bit. And yeah, it's a big ordeal. So those simulators alone showed me that what they go through, what they have to make a split second decision on, the average person, I don't know if we could do it. And I think we would offer them a lot more grace if each of us went through one of those simulators and realized who we would be in that situation.
So I have a story for you then, because last summer when I was in Washington, D.C., I took this pre-college program when I was at Georgetown. And if you ever get the chance, you should definitely visit the museum. It's okay. Called the National Law Enforcement Museum, and that's where I actually got to experience the simulator. So it was pretty cool. There was an instructor there who was former ATF. I actually got to interview him on my podcast and talk about the use of force. But he was a really cool guy, and when we went inside the simulator room, he was like, all right, I just need two volunteers. So obviously, I raised my hand. I mean, I definitely wanted to try it out. So when he chose me to come down there, I was shocked because there was a big screen in front of me. It was a real life scenario. There were people running. There were people complaining. There was like this one person that was telling me what's going on. And then I'm just there as an officer with a real Glock in my hand, obviously with no ammo, but a real gun in my hand. And in front of me, there's like a lot of people just running across the screen. Obviously, I have to find out who's the bad guy, where to approach to next, and how to calm the situation down. So to the best of my abilities, I try shouting out things like put the gun down or like put the weapon down or whatever it was to defuse the situation. But at that moment, I realized, wow, that's crazy. Being an officer, you have to make those split second decisions and you don't even know what could be next. You have to choose your words so carefully. So the next 5 seconds doesn't end up in a bloodbath. That's how bad it is.
Well, and now they're all walking around with body cams, right? So, I mean, now even the officer is self-aware that he's got to make the right choice.
Absolutely. It's just so much can happen within a few seconds. It's crazy.
Well, I applaud you for doing this podcast, man. I know that I've already had you on mine and I was just so struck by your passion. Even as you tell that story and you said you threw your hand in the air, I'm like, of course you did. I think you're the future, bro. I think you're the future. And I think as you do this, and I may have even said this in the podcast, so I apologize if I'm repetitive, but I'm going to say the same blessing again, dude. Enjoy your life. Have some fun. But you are the future. And as you develop your leadership, which you've already got some good head on your shoulders, I just think, yeah, man, all the way to the top, bro.
Thank you. And just going back to a bit more to the simulation side and the fact that you're a board member, non-law enforcement, no connection to law enforcement. As a civilian, what have you learned about law enforcement that you think is very important for others to know about?
As a civilian, I think I have to remind myself that they too are. If it wasn't for the badge, they too are civilians, right? They're just like us.
Absolutely.
I think it's easy for us to see them put that badge on and we're like, oh, so they've got extensive training that makes them a level above type human. Like they're always going to make the right decision. They're, you know, they, I mean, even when they go and they order food, they're probably perfect at ordering food at McDonald's. Like we just think of officers or anybody in uniform, we just think of them like that. But you take away that badge and you find out that they're just like you and us. They, you know, so when you talk about those simulators, you and I have had the pleasure of doing these simulators where we're not being shot back, right?
Right.
And for them, they don't have that privilege. So they're a real human on their way to these calls, on their way to the, you know, de-escalating scenarios where they're looking at individuals where they're like, I don't know if this person's crazy or not, but they have to maintain their cool. So I think that's the thing that I would love to portray as a citizen to another citizen is, listen, we're dealing with citizens. Yes, they've been entrusted with something amazing, but that's the grace again. I don't even know how to explain grace except giving forgiveness, even when you don't know if it's necessary, even when you don't know if they deserve it or not. It's just giving free forgiveness. And I think that's what we have to give a lot of our officers.
Absolutely. I completely agree. And that just connects me to the next question. What common misconception does the community have about law enforcement? I know you just talked about that a little bit in your last answer, but I just wanted to clarify because there's so many things that a civilian or someone could just think of when they think of a police officer, right? Immediately they can think about gun and badge, run, or slow down if you're driving. So many things that goes through your mind. What is that one common misconception do you think is really important for people to know?
You know what goes through my mind? And again, you and I were on the side of law enforcement, right? But immediately when I see an officer, and this is even in today's time, sorry, I'm just going to be honest, but I think that they think they're better than me. I think that they think like they're better than us. But here's the actuality. The actuality is, and this is what I've learned off of so many podcasts with officers, because some of my questions have been like, why is it sometimes that you guys are unapproachable? And here's the thing is that what we don't realize is that they have to be skeptical of everybody. They have to be skeptical of people who are being nice to them. They have to be skeptical of people who use kids to as distractions. I mean, they really have to think across the board, this person who's saying hello to me or this person who I'm interacting with at any moment, they could be a fraud and they could either whip something out and attack me, or they could be lying to me while something else is happening in the background. There's just so, you know, I think of people, you know, I think of like lovers who have been, oh, well, you know, you cheated on me and now I can never get that out of my head. Well, imagine an officer who's been duped, or an officer who put too much trust in one individual that they were like, hey, I think this guy's cool, so I can take my eyes off him for 1 second. Boom, the guy starts running. I think they've been duped enough, or they've heard enough stories that they have to put up this wall, that they have to put up this sense of, hold on, let me just check you out a little bit. Let me kind of, you know, in the Christian world, we call that discernment. Discernment is when you're just kind of feeling it out with your body, with your energy. You're just like, I don't know about this person. Let me just keep them at a safe distance and let me just keep an eye on them. And that's interesting, right? I always think, I'm like, oh, they think they're better than me. No, chances are they just don't know me and they don't know if they're in a safe spot around me.
That makes complete sense. And I'm really glad that you said that, because I think that's something that more people really need to hear. And hopefully this podcast helps with that as well. I'm pretty sure this podcast is listened by law enforcement and non-law enforcement as well. So hopefully these ideas that you just shared with me is a blessing. And I really appreciate you for saying that, because it is a very common misconception to think about that officer probably thinks he's better than me, when really the case is they're just on duty at all times. That's basically how they're trained. And yeah, I'm really glad you said that. But in terms of misconception, what specific scenarios put law enforcement on the downside when projected by the media, as we've seen many times before?
Yeah, I think when the tensions get high, again, we were talking about how they are real people behind that badge. I think when tensions get high, I don't know if you know how you would react. I'm kind of one of those individuals where it's like, hey, listen, I've never really been punched in the face. And from what I'm to understand, people can change like the Hulk. You know, either people get punched in the face and automatically they black out and they turn into like, ah, you know, or they cower. So I think one of the biggest misconceptions is that, you know, an officer is going to just immediately like flip out, you know, and it's like, hey, wait, I mean, I get, see, but here's the problem, Jason. Like, if for me right now, for me to say, if an officer flips out on me, like I would have to like look at that officer and be like, what did I do? What did I say? Like, I'm right. trying to abide by whatever you're asking me of. But they deal with people who don't behave like that. Sometimes they deal with people who are on, you know, substances that make them three times stronger than the officer. So it's a really weird spot, right? It's a really weird spot to sit there and try to judge an officer, especially when they lose control. We just don't know what that scenario is like when they're the only officer on the scene and there's six people around them. You know, when they're the officer on the scene and they're seeing their buddy get beat up, we don't know what that feels like to have to come through for your boy. You know, so there's just a lot of, I would have to say that there's a lot of pressures that they're impacted with immediately on the spot that sometimes we don't know how we're going to react as humans. I mean, you could have all the training in the world. The minute that stuff pops up, I mean, I can tell my family all day how to get out of my house if there's a fire. But the minute there's an actual fire, will I behave, you know, level-headedly? I hope so. So I think that's one of those misconceptions.
That's a really interesting point. But would you agree that the media tends to worsen the situation than it already is?
Yeah, without a doubt, because it's juicy. You know, I'm in media, so I understand what it is to take even a good story. So say an officer rescues a cat from a tree. I don't know. I'm using that as an example. The deal is to make that story as juicy as possible. If not, it's just a little kid story. So you make it as juicy as possible. The way that he climbed up, you really amplify it. Well, the same thing with the negative news. The negative news, they know that they can keep rerunning that stuff and it's going to keep people captivated. So it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that we don't have more of those stories of the officer that saves the cat from a tree. But the minute that that officer is surrounded by six, seven people and doesn't know what to do and you know, starts to use a little bit harder force, immediately the media says, look, that officer needs more training. That officer, meanwhile, it's like, well, what would you have done? Surrounded by six people, not knowing who's on your side and who's not. Like, it's an interesting debacle. I've probably said that a couple of times because it really is. It just really is so sensitive because we want to love on our law enforcement because when they're there for us, oh my Lord, they're prayers that have been answered. But the minute we see them on media or the minute we see them treat our friend bad or anything like that, immediately now the whole group is bad. And that is not the case.
And speaking of the negative messages from the media, what does the term defund the police mean to you?
Ew. Defund the police. I mean, just listen to that. That means not funding the police and just kind of letting, I don't even know what happens in that case. Do you let little security ops rise up, like little districts of people who run things themselves? I mean, I don't like it. When you and I have done podcasts with individuals who decide to take that job on and put on that badge, we know their hearts. Like, you and I have interviewed more than enough people that we know their hearts. These are good people. I don't think there's many people who sign up to be an officer to say, hey, I'm going to be a prick out there and I'm going to try to beat people up as many times as I can with this baton that they're giving me. And if I get to, you know, shoot my taser at a couple of people, man, I'd love it.
Absolutely.
I haven't interviewed one person who joined the job to do that. So when we say defund the police, we're talking about defunding the people who help our communities out. There's more good happening. Trust me that there's more good, sizably more good happening than the bad that we see out there that's plastered all over the place. But the bad gets the ratings. The bad gets the clicks. So that's why we tend to go for the bad.
Now let's talk about the opposite side of that. So do you think there should be more funding for law enforcement or just have it as is?
Yeah, great question. You know, I don't know much about the workings of business. And when I mean business is how much do we make compared to how much can we spend on employees compared to how much do we need to run things? But obviously to me, the mathematics seem right in any occasion. If I pay my teachers more, they're going to be awesome teachers. If I pay my officers more, they're going to take that job a lot more serious. And, you know, and And, you know, maybe with that comes certain certifications that have to come where you get paid more. But I know that our men and women who do the jobs that oftentimes caused or call for the most sacrifice. So, I mean, teachers, nurses, firefighters, officers, deputies, you know, those people often don't make what they should be making. And I think that that's something that a lot of people can, even for me as an adult who pays taxes and stuff like that, like I can look at a salary, for instance. I think this morning I read something. Now this is outside of the realm, but nevertheless, somebody who's a Marine, I think I saw something of after the service for so many years, like 40 something grand. And in today's time, that is a salary. But as we progress into the future, that is not enough. And I don't know what our officers, our teachers, our nurses, again, anybody who's a frontliner, I don't know if they're getting paid what they should. So, but again, you know, we have a lot of citizens who think, well, you know, they're the ones who elected for that job. So they get paid what they paid. And here's the deal. You pay them more, that means more out of my paycheck. So, yeah, but I do think that they do deserve more. I would like to see them paid more, and I would like to see more emphasis on these officers get paid great to do great work.
I don't disagree with you at all. In any case scenario as well, if you get paid more, there's a much better chance that you would perform your job as much as you get paid. But to those first responders, what message do you have for any current or future law enforcement listening to this interview right now? And how can they change the perspective of law enforcement in the future?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of y'all listening right now, I think you guys know the narrative that's out there. I think you guys know how people perceive you. I get to talk to officers all the time at different events. Luckily, with K92.3, the radio station that I work for, we do a ton of festivals. And at these festivals, I get that opportunity to talk to a lot of our officers. And yeah, I want you to know, if I could just sum this up, okay, because I know that the job can sometimes, it seems like, you know, you're not getting the praise that you should. But if I could sum this up in one way, there is somebody out there that when they're in trouble and they don't have anybody to look to, you know, there's nobody to the left, nobody to the right, there's nobody coming to their rescue. They're praying. They're legit, whether they believe in God or not, for the most part, they're throwing up a Hail Mary to something up there that says, please, if you are up there, send help. And you're the one who arrives. So I take the job seriously, please. I know that here on this planet, I know that sometimes we can be nasty to each other, okay? And this has been since the beginning of time that we're just nasty to each other. That's just the way humans are. But the job matters and it means something. And every day that you put on that badge is another day that somebody's safe. And I will also say this too. Be a good leader too, the way that you're protecting us. Don't forget about that family of yours. I talk to a lot of our officers. That's one of the number one things that they have to remember is, listen, at some point I have to take my cop hat off, my deputy hat off, and I've got to be a dad, or I've got to be a husband, or I've got to be a good leader to the little league coach, the little league that I coach. And that's a beautiful thing, right? That's a hard balance, but you are being challenged with being a beautifully balanced, level-headed human. And you can do it. If not, God wouldn't have put you there.
Thank you. And ultimately, how do we trust the badge?
I think you trust the badge by supporting the badge. I think first and foremost, I think what we have to do as humanity is whenever we see a member of law enforcement, and remember what I said earlier in this podcast, they may not shoot you the thumbs up that you thought that they were. They may not give you the high five that you thought that they would give you. They may be in a mental state where they're having to pull a shift, and at the same time, they're having marriage troubles at home. Or they have their own teenager that's acting a fool, and they're sitting there having to protect you at the same time. So what I would say is trust the badge, but be polite to the badge first, because what that's going to do is that's going to turn those officers into softer hearts. Now, we're not asking for them to be soft. We're asking for them to at least, you know, have softer hearts and be able to trust us back.
There's nothing more than thanking those people who serve their everyday lives just to protect you, not knowing if they'll even come home one day in one piece. So I completely appreciate that. And I'm sure lots of people resonate with that message. And before we finish up, do you have any final thoughts?
I already told you that I think you're brilliant. I think that this is something that you should continue.
Thank you.
Know, regardless whether there's highs and lows, I've had to learn at the age of 42 that those lows that I thought were really crappy, like, man, why did I have to go through that? Now at the age of 42, and I get it, that I still have many years, God willing. But now I'm able to look back at those moments and be like, oh, wait a minute. Me going through that actually made me stronger or smarter or wiser on this other side of it. And now I can appreciate it in a different way. Did I enjoy it at the time? Heck no. But that adversity makes you grow in a different way. And so I know it sounds silly, but anytime that you can get yourself into a challenge, just do it, because what it does is it affords, almost like a Boy Scout that gets himself into another challenge and accomplishes it. It gives you another badge on your sash, bro. And I've had sashes, man. I know people can't see them, but they can feel them when we talk to them.
Got it. Thank you very much. And before we end, could you just let the audience know again the name of your radio?
Yeah, absolutely. So the radio station is A92.3. It's based here in Orlando, Florida. And yeah, I've been the morning show guy there for the past 7 years, and in that building for the past 24. So it's been a fantastic ride.
Thank you, Mr. Diaz. And everyone, please make sure that you listen to K92.3. I'm sure it's a great radio. There's Mr. Diaz on it, so that's a bonus. So yeah, thank you for your time, and I really appreciate it.
You're the best, brother. Anything you need from us, you know, all you got to do is shout. Give me a call, send me a text. We got you.
Thank you for listening to this episode. And if you have not already, please make sure to check out K92.3 and the City's Finest podcast from the Orlando Police Foundation, where K92.3 is again the radio show that Mr. Diaz hosts, and the Orlando Police Foundation podcast, The City's Finest, is where he hosts his interviews with law enforcement as well. So thank you for listening to this episode, and of course, stay tuned for more episodes from Trust the Badge.